Let us take our Bibles now to the book of Psalm, chapter 119. Psalm 119, we've arrived at verse 129 on our series in the book of Psalms. Notice that we have the letter Pei. It's the same beginning two letters as the word wonderful, Peli, in verse 129. The word wonderful, of course, is one of the titles that's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He is called wonderful. The Hebrew word Peli, also found in 129, is oftentimes used with reference to deity. And certainly we know that our Lord is wonderful. Our Lord is the living Word. The living Word manifested. He was the express image of God the Father. So therefore, when we hear about the testimonies of the Lord being wonderful, we know our Lord is wonderful, for He is the living, living, breathing Word. We're going to be looking at verse 132 as our emphasis verse. Notice it says, "Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do." I'd like for you, if you don't mind marking your Bible every once in a while, I want you to just underline that phrase, "as thou used to do." The psalmist studied the Scriptures, and he looked at how God worked in the lives of others. And I believe that we can look at how God has worked in the lives of others within our own family. The title of our message is "The Benefits of a Godly Heritage." Oh, may we raise our children to walk in the paths of the Lord. May we have generational blessings in our family, so that someday our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will be able to look back as the psalmist did and say, "Lord, I need your blessing as thou used to do. The things that I heard at grandpa's knee and grandma's knee, Lord, I need those same blessings with the trials that I am facing." You know how we can begin to establish those generational blessings? By starting to walk with God right now where we are. Many of you are raising children and raising up godly seed, and it's your desire to raise your children in the paths of the Lord. May that be your blessing. May you have the benefits of a godly heritage. I've divided our psalm that we are looking at, verses 129 through 136, in the following way. There's the benefit of a godly heritage, first of all, in obeying God's Word. You know, if we're going to have the benefit of a godly heritage, we need to obey God's Word. And verses 129 through 132 speak about obeying God's Word. You know, if we don't obey God's Word, how in the world are we going to expect those that proceed from us to do so? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So therefore, let's obey God's Word, verses 129 through 132. Then we're going to see verses 133 through 136. It not only speaks of obeying God's Word, but it talks about the benefits of a godly heritage in overcoming by the Word. So not only obeying God's Word, but overcoming by the Word of God is spoken of in this great chapter. So let's take a look at these two things, obeying God's Word and overcoming by God's Word as well. Notice verse 129. We're looking now at obeying God's Word. And you know, you're not going to obey God's word unless you have a reverence for the word. Let's see 129 now at the reverence for the word of God. Thy testimonies are wonderful, the psalmist said. Therefore doth my soul keep them. You know, obedience begins in the hearts of the parents. Obedience needs to begin with the leadership in the home. And as truth is modeled in the laboratory of the family, children will inculcate that example as they see it in the home. That includes how we respond to stress in life, how we respond to the curveballs of life. You know, our children learn more by our response to adversity than our response to when things are going smoothly. And that's why, one of the reasons why God allows adversity, so that we might demonstrate that God's word equips us to go through whatever we may establish. Think of your job. You know, when you hire someone on, or when someone is hired into your job, whether it's hospice or whether it's investments or whether it's working in a body shop or air conditioning or computers, most places have what they call field training. And that is intended to expose you to all possible aspects of the job, sometimes under stress, sometimes under pressure, to see if you really have what it takes to cut the mustard and to put the product out. Well, you know, the Lord knows that if we're going to build champions for Christ in a coming generation, we can't shelter our children from the realities of life, the hardships. And life is hard, folks. It's a mixed bag, let's face it. And you can't shelter your kids from the fact that life has a lot of hard knocks. And sometimes things happen that you can't explain. And you can't explain it to the kids as to why. But when they see the relevance that we attached, the reverence to God's word, there is the key. Notice it says here, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. You know, if we're going to obey God's word, number one, we have to reverence. We have to have a reverence for the word, verse 129. Then we need to demonstrate the relevance of the word. Not only reverence it, but demonstrate the relevance of it. Notice verse 130 and 31. The entrance of thy words giveth light. You know, when you're facing a trial and a testing, and you're seeking God's will and direction for your life, God's word is relevant. It helps us. It gives us truths and principles that we can use in our decision making. And if we're going to impact a future generation for Christ, we need to show and demonstrate not only reverence for the word, but the relevance of it and how that God's word can help us choose the right place. You know, I personally think that our children need to realize that one of the greatest decisions, you know, if I were to move across country somewhere as a church member and God was leading me somewhere, you know what? More important than even the job is there a place where I can shelter my family in a good, solid Bible work, where they can grow in the truths of God's word. More important than home selection and having all of the rooms that I need, is there a good Bible-believing church that we will be able to find safe haven in for the spiritual development of the family? I'll tell you what, you can have the best job in the world, move across country, and have your family go to pot, and it's not worth it. The selection of a Bible-believing church. Some listening to my voice now are floundering, not taking the time to be in the house of the Lord. You're not making efforts And then you wonder why problems come in a home. Oh, how we need to have reverence for the Word, but we also need to demonstrate to our children the relevance of God's Word. It says here, the entrance of your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. God will reveal His will and guide us by principles. If it doesn't directly apply to it, principles will help. Notice verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. I'll tell you what, the old phrase, this book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book, is very relevant here. Here the psalmist pants, just like a deer would pant for the brooks after running a long distance because of an adversary fleeing after it. So we should pant for the Word of God. If we don't demonstrate the Word of God to be relevant, and by the way, when you have personal devotions, make it relevant. Make it relevant. Talk about your needs. Share in devotions what you're praying about. And make them relevant to the needs that they are facing. And demonstrate to them how God's Word is relevant. We need to demonstrate to the 21st century that God's Word is relevant. I don't know why in the world the church today says, oh, theology, it's impractical. Listen, theology properly taught will be relevant. Amen, Brother Dave? Amen. Properly taught and applied, you can't get any more relevant than theology. The doctrine of God and the principles of God's Word, properly taught and applied to life's needs and the truths as to who God is, it will be relevant. And shame on us if we are making God's Word dry as shredded wheat, because it shows that we're not reverencing God's Word in order to make it relevant. But you know, in verse 132, it talks about not only reverence for the Word and the relevance of the Word, but notice the recollection of the Word. If we're going to obey the Word, we need to recollect the Word. Look at verse 132. Look thou upon me, be merciful unto me, as thou used to do. The psalmist recollected the Word of God, and he thought about how God worked in the lives of others, and that gave him strength. I believe that we ought to read books on missions, and we ought to teach our young people. And if you're in a Christian school curriculum, you'll notice that's part of the curriculum. A good steady diet of Christian biographies and how God worked in the lives of preachers and missionaries. And it encourages, and they're able to recollect how God worked in the lives of others, even in the Old Testament. So that's part of obeying God's Word, having reverence for the Word, showing the relevance of God's Word, recollecting the Word. That's how you build a godly heritage as we seek to follow the Lord. Now, look at verses 133 to the end of the chapter, and the theme shifts from obeying to overcoming. And we need to demonstrate how we can overcome. You know, Jesus overcame by using the Word of God when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. We need to overcome by the Word of God. Now, how do we overcome? Well, verse 133 teaches us that we need to order our lives by the Word of God. Notice, order my steps in thy word. Boy, if we would get that idea. You know, up north, I always used to like to walk in my father's steps when he would go out in the backyard and just walk in the freshly fallen snow. And I'd just try to reach his stride. And so often as a young boy, I'd fall short. But, you know, we need to order our steps, not by what Cosmopolitan or 17 magazine says, or the National Enquirer, or the perverts in Paris, or whatever, you know, Good Morning America entertainment section or whatever. We need to order our lives and get our priorities from what God says in His Word? Are you spending time in God's Word? Notice, order my steps in Thy Word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know, the psalmist is saying here, Lord, I want Your Word to order my life. You know, many Christian homes are in chaos today. Rather than order, there's disorder. Why? God's Word is never opened. God's Word is never read. There's never reverence for the Word. The relevance of the Word is never displayed. There's never a recollection of the Word of God. There's disobedience to the Word of God. No interest for the things of God. And after all, if you're a carnal Christian and you're living in sin, are you going to want to open up God's Word and have that exposed in your life? You see, there's that tendency to just close it out. But we need to order our lives. That's the first step of overcoming, ordering our lives. Now, notice in 134, we not only have ordering our lives through the Word, but you know, God's Word offers deliverance. We have the offer of deliverance from God's Word. And you know, the offer of deliverance is from the fear of man. Some people have more of a fear of man than of God. But God's Word offers deliverance. It not only orders our lives, but it offers deliverance. Look at verse 134. Deliver me from the oppression of man. Some people in the Christian life are burning themselves out. You know why? Some pastors in the ministry are burning themselves out because they're trying to please everybody. They're afraid. They think that they have to walk through the Christian life and not offend or ruffle anybody's feathers and not take a stand where anyone's going to be offended. And they plan their messages in such a way so that no one will get their feathers ruffled. And the fear of man brings a snare. But here, if we let God blue pencil our messages, He's ordering our steps, we're going to be able to have deliverance from the fear of man. We have to have a good dosage of the fear of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong, a pastor or any Christian worker or any believer in Christ, we shouldn't seek to make enemies or seek to be cantankerous or ugly or impetuous or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that we need to live our lives with a view towards pleasing the Lord and standing for Him and being a good testimony for Christ. And we need to be delivered from the oppression of the fear of man and keep the precepts of the Lord. So we overcome by letting God order our lives, by being delivered from the fear of man, which God offers that. But notice, God's Word opens the doorway to fellowship with our Lord. God's Word opens the doorway. Look at verse 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. You know, if we were the biggest thing, the biggest concern in our lives, Lord, may I have Your shining face and Your approval in my life. Lord, that's what I want. I don't want the oppression of man, but I want the approval of the Lord to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Is that your heart's desire? Teach me thy statutes, Lord. Overcoming God's Word means that we allow the Word to order our lives. God's Word offers deliverance from the fear of man. It opens doorways to fellowship. But you know, it obligates us. Number four, it obligates us towards a burden for the lost. When's the last time you've shed tears for those that are lost? When is the last time you've been burdened, even for those that disregard God's Word? Look at verse 136. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Do you have a burden for lost loved ones? Do you have a burden for those that disregard the Word of God? Do you have a burden for your children, your grandchildren that are not walking in the paths of the Lord? Does it impact your prayer life? Are you seeking to have others that you know are prayer warriors to pray for family members? Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. But you know, we need to pray and believe in the power of prayer. Let's band together even tonight and make an emphasis on praying for a godly heritage, that God will use whatever it takes to turn lives around and they'll return to the Lord that they have been taught from the mother's womb, as it is, in hearing the precepts of God's Word. May we do everything we can do by obeying God's Word and overcoming God's Word in our lives. And then, by our example, trusting in God's leadership. Let's bow our heads together. And there may be some here listening to my voice that ought to be living a godly heritage, but you've strayed away from the things that you've been taught for so many years. God will do everything necessary to bring you back as a lost sheep back to the fold. Respond to His promptings. Return to the God of your salvation. And some of you here that have loved ones that have erred and have trespassed and veered off, make it a matter of faithful prayer, as I know many of you have, that God's Word will bring back. The Spirit of God will work in hearts and lives. Father, thank You for this time that we can have in prayer emphasis, claiming Your power in creating, Lord, a godly heritage. Father, we think of individuals that, like Jonathan Edwards, a committed Christian, marrying a godly lady, 1,394 descendants from this couple, becoming doctors, college presidents, professors, Christian workers, civic leaders, and then others like Max Jukes that we read about, a contemporary of his, living a godless life, an atheist, marrying an ungodly girl. From this union came convicts, criminals, murderers, prostitutes. Lord, I thank You that these things demonstrate that You are indeed a rewarder of them that diligently seek You. But Lord, help us not to be myopic. Lord, we know that You're not through in the lives of many that have backslidden or strayed away. And Father, that we need to keep on praying in faith, believing that they'll return back to You. So Father, bless them as we gather together for prayer. Encourage hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.